welcome to worship, everybody. My name is Todd Misfeld. Pastor Kim is still on sabbatical. We have a God who created the world and who's still active in it. We have a God who is everywhere and who desires to draw us close.
Please pray with me. Gracious God, you are wise and powerful, creator of the universe. You made us with a plan, but we, like sheep, have gone astray. We try to turn to our own way. You designed us to be guided by you, but we fill our lives with other priorities. You made us to be free, but we enslave ourselves to harmful habits and destructive behaviors. You created us to love, but we push others away because of our insecurities. You gave us life, but humankind seems bent on taking it away, even in common, everyday places like city streets, trains, restaurants, and shopping malls. You gave us your Son to restore your plan, but we nailed him to a cross. Save us, dear God, from ourselves. Continue to work your plan. You are a gracious God. You have not given up on us. You will never leave us or forsake us. Please pardon our iniquities, heal our diseases, redeem our lives from the pit, for you alone can rescue us. Life at times can be overwhelming. Thank you that you are there for us. Grant hope to those who need help. Bring friends to those who are lonely. Give jobs to those who are without work. We pray for those in our church family who are battling medical issues. We pray for those who are fighting cancer and undergoing chemotherapy. We pray for Marianne Bartlett as she recovers from heart surgery, for Steve Wetlison as he heals from kidney issues, and for Cheryl Pasquinelli as she recovers from her operation. In your love and compassion, please bring your healing to them quickly so that their youth may be renewed like the eagles. We pray for our church. We pray for service worship. As we seek to be your hands and feet, let us see your eyes and heart in those we serve. And we pray for the search committees, for the children's position and for the youth position. Bless their efforts, give them wisdom and guidance, and lead them to the candidates of your choosing. And we pray for our nation as it prepares for the upcoming presidential elections. Proverbs tells us that even a king's heart is like a stream of water in your hand, that you can turn wherever you wish. We pray that, even now, you would be turning the heart of whomever our next president might be to seek after your priorities and your agenda. We pray your blessing upon Pastor Kim. Thank you for her service to us. Give her rest during this time that she is away. And we pray for Todd Misfeld as he delivers your message to us this morning. Inspire him with your spirit, so that we might hear your message to us. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.
Well, thank you, Dan. As we get close to the conclusion of our series on the book of Acts, I want to bring you back to April, when Kim introduced it and said there was a lot of different emotions and different things in Acts, including humor. And in this morning's passage, I see a number of things. So there's a number of things to look at in it, but I also see a little bit of humor. So let me explain this. You have to kind of picture this in your mind's eye, right? You've got the disciples. They're looking up where Jesus had just ascended to heaven to be with his Father. But it sounds as if it's not just a glance up, but they're continuing to stare up in the sky. And so these angels appear, and they kind of look at them, looking up at the sky, and they say, well, what are you doing looking up there? Almost as if they were doing something, you know, slightly ridiculous. You know, and it's, you know, as I think about that, I get kind of a little smile about it. In Scripture, we see love and sorrow and anger and compassion. And that's just describing what the emotions that God shows, not, you know, nonetheless, what people show. And it is easy when we read Scripture to see kind of just what we want to see, just what we are looking for. If we want order, if we desire order, you know, we see a God who is a stern disciplinarian. If we desire love, we see a God who is only love. If we want grace, we see a God who's only compassion. And that is both true and untrue, because God is certainly all of those things. God is certainly love, but he is not only love. God is many things, not just what we look for. And to fully appreciate God and to fully appreciate Scripture, you have to look at the entirety of who God is, and not just what we want. Now, when I say humor, I don't mean the type of humor that cuts people down or hurts people. And what's true of humor is also true of other emotions such as love, right? There can be unhealthy forms of love, and there can be unhealthy forms of humor. But unlike human humor, God's humor is not cruel, not intended to hurt. And because it's not in God's nature to hurt us. And humor in the Bible is not to just entertain us, as we're often familiar with, because there's always a serious aspect to the passages in Scripture. But it also gives us a different perspective, and I think a different way of looking at kind of our situation too. Now, to be fair, there are some people who see absolutely no humor in Scripture. There's a philosopher, Alfred Whitehead, says, you know, the total absence of humor in the Bible is one of the most singular aspects in literature. However, others see it differently. The author Dorothy Sayers says, the Scriptures are rich with humor, people acting in foolish ways, the irony of people acting differently than one would expect, the sudden twist in a story to illustrate a meaning. The Bible is about human life, but all of human life. How could it not contain humor? Like that, right? Now, I acknowledge that for some, life is filled with pain and challenges. And the season of life that you find yourself in may not be at all humorous. And I don't want to minimize that when talking about humor, because we know that God is with you and will bring you through it. However, there are times that we experience life through humor, and sometimes even when we're in the depths of despair. So this morning I want to make a case for the presence of humor throughout the Bible, that it shows a side of God that we can miss, and how humor helps us look for God in unexpected places. And we can see humor from the very beginning of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, we have the story of the fall of humanity, where Adam and Eve have eaten the forbidden fruit. And God asks Adam why he ate the fruit. And what does Adam do? He looks and says, well, Eve made me do it, right? Points a finger there. And Eve's over here. She sees the finger and, oh, the serpent made me do it. And the serpent does have any fingers he can point to anyone else, and there's no one else around. So Eve's just quiet. This is an example of human life that Sayers is talking about, that when cornered, we want to deflect blame. Put it on someone else. But it doesn't fool God, right? And in this particular story, there are consequences to everyone, even to this day. And we have seen humorous passages before in our series in Acts. You remember a couple of months back in May, we had the story of Peter being in jail and an angel of the Lord appearing and getting him out. And to paraphrase the first part of it, says Peter is asleep in prison when an angel of the Lord appears in the cell and a bright light shones in the cell. And it says that the angel struck Peter on the side to wake him up. Then the angel has to tell Peter exactly what to do, right? He says, get up, put on your clothes, put on your sandals, wrap your cloak around you, and follow me. Because Peter's still half asleep in this case. Now, the author of Luke could have just said the angel woke Peter up. But he adds that detail of, in verse 7, says he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Struck him on the side. I mean, to me it seems almost if, you know, maybe Peter was a sound sleeper and the angel had tried to wake him up before, but it almost sounds as if he's kind of impatient, right? And he gives him a little gentle kick with his foot or something, you know? Like he was impatient with him. Now, if we're too serious, we can kind of skip over that detail when we read the passage. But you know, I think there's a little bit of humor in there. And if you're unsure, the passage continues, as you may remember, where Peter's out of prison and he walks over to Mary's house and knocks at the door. And pick up in Acts chapter 12, starting at verse 12. He says, he went to the house of Mary where many people were gathered and praying for Peter. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening the door. That's a great story, right? Because Rhoda doesn't open the door. That's funny. And, you know, poor Rhoda, everybody's praying for Peter's release. And it happens, and she doesn't realize it. What she was expecting is on the other side of the door. But she wasn't expecting God to answer her prayer in that way. She was expecting something different. So she doesn't recognize it. And we see that's true of God. We'll see this later, that God often answers our prayers in ways we do not expect. And if we're not open to that, we can be like Rhoda and just walk away from it. And many have done this. I've done this. God has answered my prayer and wasn't how I expected it, and I almost didn't recognize it. And I think humor helps us see that if we relax a little bit. So humor is quality of right of being amusing or being comic, and we get a smile from it. It can be contagious, right? A good laugh can spread to other people around us. And humor and laughter can trigger healthy changes, physical changes in the body. One website says it relaxes the whole body. It boosts the immune system. It triggers a release of endorphins, and laughter protects the heart. Well, to that list, I would add, too, that humor can protect the soul. It can restore our perspective on things because we have to stop and laugh. It gives us a bit of fresh start to see things anew. One way that humor gives us a fresh start is that it often exposes the human condition. So I like this cartoon from the Gary Larson's Far Side strip. And in it, we've got God, and he's kind of cooking the earth there. And he's got this little jar, and it says, if you can't read it, it says jerks on it. It's giving a liberal helping of jerks in the world. And he's thinking, just to make it interesting. This resonates with me, first because I've run across people, and I'm sure all of us have, who we think of kind of as a jerk, right? I'm not sure it's interesting, but at the same time, I wonder, am I one of those jerks too? You know, so if you can appreciate the humor, it gives you that little difference in perspective. And humor can also point out things that maybe are a little too true, if you will. So this next comic, we have a young boy, and his dad's getting ready to pay for dinner. And he asks, how come the waitress gets 15% and God only gets 10? You know, we can look around ourselves and we can be blind, can't we? And that humor stops and makes us think. You know, maybe that's perhaps the reason we have those details of Rhoda and Peter getting out of prison, is to stop and think and maybe see ourselves in those positions. But it's the same way when we look for God. We can be blind sometimes because we're not taking that step back. We're not looking around, looking at the whole picture. And in our passage this morning, that Jesus' ascension into heaven, the disciples are kind of looking in the wrong spot. They're looking where Jesus was. And if they had taken that step back and thought about what Jesus had told them, which was to go into Jerusalem and wait for him there, It's funny because somebody else has to point it out to them, you know. And we can be like that too. We're guilty of looking in the wrong places. But we too should be listening to what Jesus has told us and look everywhere for Jesus. We should learn from this and not box Jesus in just to be where we've last seen him. Now, some humor can be very culturally dependent, right? It relates to certain either social taboos or social customs that we have. But luckily, that's not all of it. A lot of humor is universal. And I want to point out the story in the Old Testament Numbers of Balaam's donkey. I see a smile already. If you remember that, Balaam was trying to please both God and the neighboring king. So Balaam set off to go to this neighboring kingdom, but the Lord had told him not to go. But he was going to go anyway. So he gets on his donkey and he sets off on the trip. And God sends an angel who stands in the road to stop him. Now the donkey can see this angel, but Balaam can't. And he sees this angel standing in the road with his sword drawn. And so the donkey veers off into a field to, you know, not go against the angel. Balaam doesn't see this, so he beats the donkey. So the angel moves ahead to a place where there are some walls of a vineyard by the road. The donkey sees the angel, and so he veers off to a side and crushes Balaam's foot against the wall. So he beats the donkey again. Next, the angel goes to a place where there is no room to pass. The donkey sees the angel and just lays down underneath Balaam. Of course, the donkey gets beat again. And in Numbers 22, verse 28, the Lord opens the donkey's eyes and it says to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me three times? Balaam says, well, you made a fool of me. Then the Lord opens Balaam's eyes, and he sees the angel. Now, adults can maybe take this too seriously, which can be appropriate, but I think any kid would get the humor of a talking donkey seeing when an adult cannot see. Now, it doesn't mean that we should just laugh and move on, because in this case it says something very true about Balaam, that he doesn't see God in front of him. He's trying to please everyone else, both God and human. And that convicts us a little bit, too, when we try to do the same thing. It's funny because it's true. It points out the truth. It cuts through all the extraneous stuff that we can, so we can see what's in front of us. The scholar Rognes writes, all throughout the scriptures, God acts in unexpected ways. We expect one thing, but God turns our expectations upside down and surprises us. We cannot help but smile from this flagrant irony. If we go a little bit forward in Acts, there's a story in Acts 19 of some Jews who only have part of the truth. They don't have the whole truth, the need to believe in Jesus. In 19 verses 13 to 16, goes that some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. The seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, saying, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? The man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them, and gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. That's physical humor. If you just picture that in your mind eye, they're running out of the house, screaming at the top of their lungs, their clothing in tatters. You know, I laugh at this, but I pray, I think about myself too, that I pray that I know the whole truth, that I don't skimp on it the way they did. One thing that somebody who has prayed to God and received answers to prayer knows is that God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we expect. That we have to remember what we've prayed for and look out for unconventional answers to our prayer. Because it seems like God has a sense of humor in this regard. You may pray for somebody who has hurt you that you can forgive them or that they will change. And God may turn that into making the two of you friends. Unexpected. You may pray that God draws you closer to Him, and God gives you a burden or some turmoil that you grow through and become closer to God. But you have to appreciate that, and you have to be on the lookout for it. A great example of an unexpected answer to prayer, at least timing-wise, we read about in Abraham and Sarah, and they're having a son. In Genesis 18, verses 10 to 15, we see the God has appeared to Abraham, actually visiting him in his tent. And he tells Abraham that next year, Sarah, his wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah is eavesdropping at the tent entrance. And she laughs to herself, thinking, oh, we're both old. It can't be. But the Lord hears her. Verse 13 starts, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Now, Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. Then God said, yes, you laughed. Busted by God. Sarah didn't believe and laugh. It wasn't what she was expecting. She had to stop and look for that answer to God's promise. In this case, wait for it. But the joke was on her in a good way. In chapter 21, verse 6, after she had the son, Sarah says, God brought me laughter, and everybody who hears about this will laugh with me. Yeah, I have to wonder if there are other episodes of humor in the Bible that we just don't know about. So I'm going to speculate. I can just picture Saul in Acts getting ready to go off to Antioch to, you know, suppress the Christians that are there. I can just picture him praying there, dear Lord, help me overcome your enemies. And what happens in Acts chapter 9 is Paul is the enemy. He gets changed. He gets converted. So in conclusion, we shouldn't always overanalyze stuff, because if we do that, we can misunderstanding everything that is in Scripture. We miss the sight of God, and it's shown by what's in Scripture and by the answers to our prayers at times. We need to look for God in unusual and unexpected places. We should not be like the disciples in Acts 1, just looking up where he used to be. But we need to look all around, because that's where God is. God is all around us, not just where we expect him. And when we see God in something that's unexpected, perhaps we just need to chuckle to ourselves, accept it from God, and say, okay, God, that's a good one on me. Thanks for the laugh, but thank you for the gift. I think it's part of having this personal relationship with God is understanding all the aspects of his personality. The scholar R. Allen Culpepper writes, humor in the Bible celebrates the goodness of God, the world God created, and the life that God gives us. So relax, pray, read the Bible, have a chuckle at times, and enjoy the goodness of God. Please join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, sometimes we look for you only where we expect you to be. We box you in with our expectations. Forgive us, Lord. You cannot be boxed in. Open our eyes and expand our horizons to see everything that you have placed in front of us. And if we walk gazing at the sky and we trip over something that you have laid at our feet, let us laugh and enjoy your gift. We want to be bathed in the warmth of your love, the comfort of your grace, and the smile of your humor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, friends, we often think of God as being powerful, mighty, all-wise. We think of God as being full of grace and compassion. And this morning we discovered, aha, God also has a sense of humor.
So go forth this week. Relax. Appreciate God. Love him. Draw closer to him. And maybe have a good laugh too. Go forward. In Jesus' name. Amen.